Hoxakot Sameach. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and welcome to the news portion of our program. We are still in the season called Tabernacles until Thursday, and I hope that you are able to stay joyful all year because of your salvation, and in spite of what we see unfolding all around us. Syria is still planning on removing its chemical weapons, but many are reporting that Assad is hiding more than he will be removing, many in Iraq, which I think is a hoot, because Saddam Hussein moved his chemical weapons to Syria about 10 years ago, kind of like a shuffleboard game, I guess. Anyhow, it's buying us some time, a short reprieve, as the Sunnis continue to fight the Shias. An update on the Navy shooter, Aaron Alexis, who they told us was a Buddhist. Well, he wasn't when he did the shooting. Apparently, he had converted to Islam and even set up his own website under his new name, Mohammed Salim. Imagine that. Now Obama is calling for stricter gun controls. I think we need more guns for self-defense. Now it looks like if you've ever even seen a psychologist or even taken a sleeping pill, you're going to be denied a permit to own a gun. And they will know everything about you because they have all your medical data on file. And don't you want to ask Obama why we are sending guns to Al-Qaeda in Syria, yet disarming loyal American citizens? It is absolutely amazing to me, the things that are going on. And that terrible attack to the upscale shopping mall in Kenya, which was done by an offshoot of Al-Qaeda called Al-Shabaab, which means the youth, and the average age is between 18 and 19. What is even more troubling is at least three of the dozen jihadists were Americans recruited from the group's training center in Minneapolis. Still waiting for confirmation, but that's what I'm hearing. I don't see how these training mosques can get away with that when our own school kids can't even talk about Jesus. Then again, we're not fighting flesh and blood, are we? You know, many are concerned it could be just another test run for other groups to do that right here in America, especially due to the recent call from Al-Qaeda's new leader, al-Zahiri, which is the guy that replaced Osama bin Laden. He's calling for Muslims to attack Americans on their own soil right now. Okay, well, anyway, have you seen where in Maryland at a town hall type school meeting, parents came together to ask questions about the new Common Core curriculum? Apparently, the questions had to be written down and turned in first. Then those in charge would answer the questions they wanted to. Well, they were very soft questions, and a man stood up and wanted his question answered. And while stating it, he was told he could not speak and was hauled outside by security and then arrested. As he was leaving, he yelled out to the others who were sitting there as to why they weren't helping. He was really outraged as only one lady did stand up. And he said to them as he was being taken out, "Why are you sitting there like cattle?" That was sad. You know, we aren't Russia. Anyway, his name was Robert Smalley. He was charged with disturbing school operations and a second-degree assault. The family has hired a lawyer, but Small faces $5,000 in fines and up to 10 years in prison if convicted of assaulting an officer. It looked to me like the officer was assaulting him, at least grabbing his arm. Anyway, the tape that someone was quick enough to get is on YouTube, if you want to see it. But I did just find out today that the charges were dropped. So I guess that's a good thing, but they wouldn't want to draw a lot of attention to that, I'm sure, anyway. But I also want to point out about this Common Core that each state that agreed to teach it and bring it into the schools, received $250 million, that's with a B, dollars, with the promise of more coming later. Thank you, Governor Kasich. Although, I doubt if all the details were in the original document that the governors were given. It's amazing. It's almost like you have to start it to see what's in it. Haven't we heard that before? Now, let me add, as we continue to try to fight the implementation of Obamacare, I am reminded of how our government is really trying to control all areas of our lives. It's a socialist agenda. Any doubts about that? You know, besides the medical area and our children's education, look at how they are also controlling mainstream media. Our culture through Hollywood, our money through banks and the Federal Reserve and letting the dollar fall fast. What about communication? We know the NSA spies on all of us now. And food, the regulations are bankrupting our farmers. Of course, our police and military, even the Department of Homeland Security, has its own police force and is buying up all the ammunition it can. And the DHS is a domestic agency, which means that ammo is not for overseas use. And even the energy is controlled, getting worse. Watch the gas prices rise much more, and Obama has just set even more regulations on the coal industry. And the labor unions are in Obama's pocket, too. Wow. So, what happened today at the UN General Assembly? When Obama spoke and he was praising his diligence against terrorism, he says, and I quote, "As a result of this work and cooperation with allies and partners, the world is more stable than it was 5 years ago." Are you kidding me? There's attacks and wars everywhere, including the slaughtering of thousands of Christians that you seldom hear about. But let's save the UN General Assembly till next time. Just a couple more things. A college student in California was accosted by a police officer and told he was breaking school rules by distributing copies of the Constitution to his fellow students in a public space. And it was Constitution Day. But they said students are welcome to exercise their First Amendment rights, but only while standing within the free speech zone, which is a small circle of concrete that fits only two people at once. And then there's the young seventh grade boy who was charged with handling a firearm, but it was really just a toy pellet gun, and he was playing in his front yard while waiting for school for the school bus. There were six children all together, and they were all playing, and the school suspended three of them, saying it had discharged the firearm near the school bus stop. It wasn't a firearm, it was a pellet gun. Anyway, the school found out about the kids playing around because a neighbor called 911 because it made her feel uncomfortable. And one more thing. Did you know that today is Bisexual Visibility Day? You may not be aware, but yes, they were at the White House celebrating with an official event. Seriously, this is not a joke. Today, in honor of Bisexual Visibility Day, there was a White House roundtable discussion about issues facing the bisexual community, attracting bisexual activists from around the nation. Oh my. Well, anyway, how about some good news? Here it is. Jesus is really coming very soon. Well, those are just my thoughts, and I always welcome yours. Email me at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. And if you are on my send list, my newsletter will be coming out very soon. Just send me an email requesting your name be added. And we are looking still to you for September's airtime payment. Remember, it really is just you that keeps this program on the air. So ask the Lord what you can do. He will bless you and keep you for helping this anti-ministry. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, She'asah liko tzorki. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs. Hey, that's what the Tabernacles is all about, the Feast of Tabernacles. His provisions for his own. For the Israelites, the first time they understood this was when he provided all their needs in the wilderness. Remember the manna? The sukkah they build is a memorial of that time. And we truly welcome you tonight to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. A reminder, you might like to go to our Shofar Ministries website, entitled shofarministries.net, later this week, and re-listen and take some notes, because every program has good insights that you'll want to remember for your knowledge enhancement, so you can share these things with others. Because as believers, God expects us to pursue him with diligence. And like he says in Proverbs 25:2, I'm going to hide it so you can find it. So now, let's ask our Father, as we always do in prayer, to be with us tonight. Abba, Todah Rabbah, thank you for Yeshua and for Simcha, for the happiness in this most of all perplexing news that I've ever heard. I just thank you that I can be happy because I'm saved in all this. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to again get your word to your people out over the airwaves. It's such a privilege. Lord, I want to lift up to you the requests we've had come in this week, especially for healings and especially for mine. I also want to lift up our finances for this ministry, that they would still keep coming in and keep us on the air. I'd like to lift up, too, all those in our government in Washington, D.C., those that know you, those who are saved, and those who really, really are trusting you and are in truth. I just make them stronger, Lord, and give them the strength to stay and hang in there, even in these crazy political times that we're having. Lord, also in this time of our joy, just help us to remember that when we do need to repent, and we do because we sin every day, but just keep a humble attitude. That's the best thing to do. And we can still have joy. And this is a great season to be joyful. And we rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in you, Lord, in Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John Hag Sameach, wishing you a season of joy.
Thank you. You know, that news could not make me unhappy.
That's right. I won't let it.
It couldn't.
Amen.
It couldn't.
I just want to remind the people that the phone lines are open. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. Why don't you give us a call? This is the last week that we'll be teaching on God's fall appointments surrounding the great harvest. And we've covered, in case people want to go back to the archives, Teshuvah, or the season of repentance, then God's new year called Rosh Hashanah. We've examined the days of awe. We showed how it was a type or a picture of the tribulation. Then we looked at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Last week we began the last and seventh appointment called Tabernacles, or Sukkot, which we will finish tonight, as the end of Tabernacles is Thursday.
That's right. And, Sheila, we also gave solid evidence that this season of joy begins with Jesus' real birthday.
It did.
And if you're new to our program, you can read about this on our newsletters, which are free, by the way, or go to our shofarministries.net there, and you will see of October of last year, 2012, this program, or the program covering this.
No, not the program. It's the newsletter.
The newsletter.
That
I'm
actually
sorry.
Wrote detailed information about why Jesus was born on the first day of Tabernacles.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I had you print those out for me. And by the way,
that's
you can,
right.
And listener, you can print them out too,
yes,
to share with others off the website, correct?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great feature.
Yeah, it's the October 2012 newsletter.
Oh, okay. Good news.
And it really is good to have it printed out and read it a couple times so that you know, kind of get it. But once you do, it's pretty easy.
That's another thing. I read these to people, and I also left them with them so they could understand.
Yes.
It.
Yes.
Good
Amen.
Tool. Good witnessing tool.
It is. And besides the birth of Jesus being on the first day of Tabernacles, and by the way, on a very full, bright, white moon, But next year, if NASA is correct, the full moon will be a blood red moon. And that'll be on October 8th, which, again, is Jesus' real birthday next year on our calendar, but always Tishri 15 on God's calendar.
And we'll be covering all that in detail in the beginning of next year because there will be a blood red moon on Passover as well, April 15th.
Yes. How about that?
Yes.
That we'll be talking a lot about that. Next year, actually, is going to be pretty remarkable, I would say.
It's a significant year.
It is. We also saw how it was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23 and Nehemiah 8, that Israel dwell in booths for full 7 days. And besides the regular Sabbath, they have a Sabbath on the first day and also on the eighth day of the feast. And they're told how to make the booths in Nehemiah 8:15. So, why don't you read Nehemiah 8:15? But read it out of the interlinear. I think you have that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says, go out to the mountains and collect branches of olives, wild olives, myrtles, palms, and other leafy trees to make Sukkot as prescribed.
That's right. And, you know, I'm glad we read it out of the interlinear because it'll show you why we need to compare sometimes with the original. Because it says wild, where like the King James and even the New King James, it's different. In fact, the King James says pine branches. Well, it has nothing to do with pine branches. It's wild olives is what it is. And again, the word is shemen, and it means richness or anointing, number 8081 in your Strong's. So I love that because Romans 11 calls us the wild olive branch. And that we're grafted in, and we know that we're anointed with the Holy Spirit, of course. So I just think it's so cool because otherwise you would miss that being part of the
booth. We're definitely wild olives. Mm-hmm. You and I both are because we're grafted in.
That's right. So we're kind of hidden in the Old Testament in Nehemiah 8:15.
We sure are, and we're also included in this festival.
That's right.
And I think that's kind of cool.
It is.
I really do.
And that's why you always say Proverbs 25:2.
Proverbs 25:2. Of course, it says, it's not word for word, but it says, I'm going to hide it. He says, I'm going to hide this so you can find it.
Yes.
It doesn't say that word for word, I know.
Well, the church was, the bride and the church was a mystery in the Old Testament.
Right. Okay.
But we're there.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to look for it. And there's a perfect example of the wild olive.
Of the wild olive.
Yeah.
Now, why do you suppose it was obscured in the King James translation? Because I thought the King James translation was supposed to be pretty good.
Well, it has its mistakes.
Okay.
Yeah. But most of them are pretty well known. But that's kind of why I like the New King James, because those mistakes are taken out.
That's good. And
for the most part. But still, it's the interlinear that if you're a teacher, especially if you're going to teach or share things, you really need to check everything out in the original.
Okay.
And we're so blessed to have that now.
We are.
You know, 20 years ago, I wasn't.
You can have that online, too, I found.
Yeah, online, anywhere.
Anywhere.
We do have a caller, and I'm going to take that call right now. It's Mary in Cleveland. Mary, you're on the line.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay, I got some stress going on. I'm an artist, and Jesus and I have been working on a project for over 8 years. And God told me to be still and to wait, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped working on the project. It's been about 4 months. But this is the thing that's stressing me out because I'm heck-bent on trying to be obedient to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know obedience is better than sacrifice. So by me being an artist, I have started, like, drawing other pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very stressed out. I don't know if when God said wait and be still, I don't know if he mean don't draw at all, because I didn't get no specifics.
All right. How much time are you spending in the Word of God every day?
Every day.
How much time?
Hour or so, more than that.
Okay. You want to increase that to at least 2.5.
Oh, I definitely do 2.5 hours.
Okay. Because that's when you're going to really be able to hear even more so. I have to tell you, these are rough days. A lot of people are going through many, many things. And stress is certainly high on everyone's list. the only thing you can do is stay in His Word and continue to pray, of course, and lift Him up and just look for direction. And in the meantime, do whatever comes natural for you in the artist, you know, area.
So what do it mean when he say be still? What did that mean?
Could I try? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I would say, Mary, is that let his thoughts seep in. In other words, we tend to think, I know what this means when we're reading the scripture, but kind of read it in a way where you leave room for the Holy Spirit to perhaps guide you a little more. Instead of like maybe reading as a magazine or a novel, but just take some, like maybe you don't understand a sentence that well. Give God time to let the Holy Spirit do something with it.
Sort of like wait upon the Lord.
Yeah, sort of like wait upon the Lord. And I think in that sense, it could mean be still.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, Mary? Or?
I guess.
Yeah, Mary, it sounds like you're probably doing the right thing. Sometimes it just takes time for us to get the proper direction. And if you're an artist, I would just keep painting and do the best you can.
Okay.
But let me pray with you before we hang up, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, right now we come before you and we ask that you touch Mary in her mind,
yes,
every cell in her body, Lord. Let it penetrate the power of your will,
yes,
so that she knows without a shadow of a doubt what she is supposed to be doing. Lord, I pray that you will remind her to spend time with you in the Word and that you will speak to her through that Word. And Lord, we just know that a miracle is coming her way.
Yes, we do.
We just stand on the Word and we know that you are faithful. And we can trust you in every area of our life, and this is no different. We come against the spirit of stress or fear or anxiety. We come against that in the name of Jesus. He has no power over her at all. Only you, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, will penetrate her mind, her will, and her emotions, every part of her body, Lord. Help her to get through this rough day, and then she will look back and say, oh, he was there for me. I just didn't always hear. But I know that you will speak to her, and you will give her direction. And we thank you for your power, and thank you for your salvation more than anything else.
Yes.
And because of that, we can get through anything.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Gotta go, Mary. Please let us know how that goes.
Thank you,
hon. All right,
thank
honey.
You for your prayers.
You bet. Bye-bye.
That was nice. I'm glad she called.
Yes, me too.
You know, I think artistic people are more sensitive than others sometimes.
I think you're right. And you have a little bit of artisticness.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you do some painting and that,
mm-hmm,
so.
Yeah.
And I'm a terrible painter, so it's like, but boy, I would like to paint.
Well, you draw good stick figures, remember,
yes,
Freddie?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. The main thing, Mary, is to keep that joy, because it's the joy of the Lord that will be your strength.
I believe God has some rest for her coming tonight,
mm-hmm,
and some joy for her coming tonight.
That's right.
And she's just going to be still and absorb
and good nutrition. Stay away from the junk foods and that so that your mind can be clear. I believe that.
Oh, I know. I know. It's hard to do, though, sometimes.
I know. And Luke is talking. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Also, I wanted to say one more thing about the booths, that they did have to leave a little opening in the roof,
okay,
so that they'd be able to see out and see the heavens and the creations and the stars and all that. We talked about that last time as well.
Exactly.
But today at sundown is the seventh day, so we've already reached the seventh day now.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow at sundown, then we'll begin the eighth and final day of the feast in Israel. And the eighth day is a very important day because there's kind of like two celebrations. It's called the celebration of Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah. And I'll come back to that, which is celebrated again on the eighth day, along with Shemini Atzeret, which means the assembly of the eighth day,
mm-hmm,
or the finishing or the closing of the eighth day. So, Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah, was actually the day that they would finish reading the Torah for the year, because every Saturday they read another portion,
mm-hmm,
and by Simchat Torah, or the eighth day of Tabernacles, it would be over, Deuteronomy 34.
Hmm.
So then they would start all over again. And we'll probably touch on that again here in a minute or two, but the eighth day is very important, as well as, I believe, the day that Jesus would have been circumcised, because he was born on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
So the eighth day, all male boys are circumcised.
That's right, and he entered into the covenant.
That's right.
He's a son of the covenant.
So.
Which means he's still Jewish, by the way.
That's right. So basically, they only had to really stay in the booth for 7 days, and then on the eighth day, they didn't have to anymore.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So.
But what is, why do you think that it went 8 days instead of just seven, besides the fact that Jesus would have been circumcised, but they didn't know that. So what is their answer?
Well, the standard Jewish answer to this is, we really don't know. So they've come up with various thoughts, like God wanted them to celebrate just one more day because it was all so much fun, and you should have another day of fun, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So in other words, we don't know.
No. But, boy, I wish those, well, those who get saved do know, I suppose, if we tell them, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the Simchat Torah on a Jewish site says this. It says, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us.
That's cool.
The Torah, too, wants to dance. So we become the Torah's dancing feet. And that's pretty cool because that's what they do on the eighth day, is they dance out in the streets, and they hold the Torah scrolls in their hand. I was there. I saw it. I danced with them.
Yeah.
Fell down once, too, by the way.
You did?
Yeah, a lot of people were dancing and just kind of knocked me over.
Well, were you in Jerusalem?
Yes.
You didn't roll down the hill, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't,
okay,
didn't do that. And I didn't really tell that to anyone till just now.
Just now.
I don't know why I did that.
Well, you thought, you didn't know they were doing the bump.
Okay. But I think it's really fitting because Jesus, of course, is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And he's inside of us, and he makes us happy, and he makes us dance.
Sometimes I think we put feet to the Torah when we're doing the program.
You know? Yes, we do.
And weren't they doing the song in Israel that you love? And you say this is like your favorite song. It's called Sisu Ve'Simchu, and that means let's rejoice all together on Simchat Torah and give honor to God's Torah.
That's right. And you know what? I think it would be a great time right now to maybe play that song.
Do we have it?
I think we do. Derek, do we have that song? There we go.
Sobre
Hey, we're back. And that was a happy song. We were dancing. We got carried away.
Oh, yeah. Even our producer was dancing.
He sure was.
With the chair.
With the chair. Wish you could have seen it. Well, someday we'll be on the TV, maybe, and you can see things like that.
Oh, God, I hope
but,
not.
But that... You hope not.
No.
That was the group called the Yella Dudes, and it's a combination of a Hebrew word and an English word. Yeled means child, and dudes, of course, is English for males, I guess, in generic term.
Dudes that yell.
Yella, and you were thinking dudes that yell. Well, that's true. They do yell, but it was the children that are, and dudes together. You know, the girls and the boys, the little girls and boys, and the big and the adults, and they're all rejoicing in the Torah this time of year, or in Israel, right?
That's right.
Where we left off, I think.
Yes, and I want to talk about the Feast of Lights, because at sundown, in fact, why don't you explain that?
Sundown, the Feast of Lights.
Yes, what happens at sundown?
What happens sundown? That's the, where are we?
Right here.
Okay, 75 foot. Now, this is first century, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now that's what was throwing me. In the first century, now, you got to imagine the temple and the outer temple towers. They were actually used as 75-foot tall candles, actually.
Well, they were called that.
Yeah, and Jesus was born on this feast.
That's right.
Feast of Lights. And, of course, he's called the Light of the World. And he said this during this ceremony in John chapter 8, verse 12, when he declared, I am the light of the world.
That's right. So as soon as these 75-foot tall candles were lit, which lit all of Jerusalem, by the way, he would be standing there and he would say, hey, I am the light of the world. Everything perfectly timed and planned out long ago. Saints, you just got to see the beauty in knowing your roots. I mean, it's just amazing to understand this. And John, in the Gospel of John, everything he did was surrounding one of the feasts. And when I first was saved and was reading that, I didn't mean anything to me.
Same here to me.
It's everything.
Now it's everything. Now it's taken that book, one-dimensional gospel, and to me now it's three-dimensional living.
That's right.
Isn't that cool?
It was also called the Feast of Nations because all people would be able to celebrate. And it's also called the Feast of Dedication because Solomon's Temple was dedicated. It's actually the greater Feast of Dedication. Hanukkah is the lesser Feast of Dedication in the winter.
Came much later.
Yeah, and John 10:22, Jesus talks about going to the Feast of Dedication in the winter. That's how we know it's Hanukkah.
That's right.
There is also a ceremony called the House of the Water Pouring or the Water Libation, where they would take running water from the Pool of Siloam in Shiloh, which, by the way, is a name for the Messiah. And it was called Living Water, or Mayim
Chaim. Mayim Chaim.
Yeah, I can't say that. And poured it out at the same time. Now, get a mental picture here of this water. And at the same time, wine is poured out from another vessel together over the altar. And, of course, it's a great picture, John.
Yeah, this can be a type of Jesus' side being pierced. Remember when he's on the cross? And blood and water streamed out from his body.
That's right. And the cross was the altar.
The altar.
And it's here now that Jesus points to himself by using another opportunity again to declare to the people, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. And that's in John 7:37. So the wine represents his blood, and the water represents his word. Ephesians 5:26 tells us that. Also, the day he said it was on the seventh day of the feast called Hosanna Rabbah, which literally means the great Hosanna or the numerous Hosannas. And this is where the daily ceremonies become more elaborate and more festive than any of the intermediate days. Willow branches are circled around the altar seven times, that's always a complete number, while reciting the Hosanna prayers. That is why the day is called Hosanna Rabbah, as the cry, Save Now, was repeated again seven times. Now, I already stated it was during the ceremony called the House of the Water Pouring when Yeshua said that he was the living water.
Yeah, and I think, Sheila, it's amazing how Jesus waited till this last day called Hosanna Rabbah.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, and That's a great way to say it.
And it means save now.
Well, it means save now, yes.
And he is our Savior, and he saves us.
Yes. It also means the great salvation.
There you go. And you know what? I think it's probably a good idea to actually read the entire verse for us. Can you read John 7:37?
Be glad to. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water."
There you go. His timing again is impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it a perfect and great statement, any idea, in fact, do you have any idea of what the scripture that he might have also been referring to, which was in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually a scripture said during the ceremony of the water pouring?
Yes, I do, and it's burned into my memory because we sing this at Shofar Ministries.
Yes, we
on
do.
The first Friday of the month. We sing it, has sang it often. It's
often.
Isaiah 12, verses 2 and 3, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And that's actually two songs we get out of that verse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting, again, let's keep that in mind, that this is called Hoshana Rabbah. It's the seventh day of the feast, what they call the final day, even though there is an eighth, but that's a Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to point out something that is never talked about that I've ever heard in regular churches. So I think, although there's many other things we could talk about for Feast of Tabernacles, I think this is something that we've got to make sure we get in before we run out of time.
Okay.
So let's skip right to, still on Hoshana Rabbah,
mm-hmm.
the next morning, which is until sundown, it's still that.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the temple, and they were reading out of Jeremiah. But before I read the exact scriptures that they would have been reading, let me recall to you an interesting episode that happened right after these temple services. And again, I'll read it later, but I want you to know this happened right after they would have read this. And it's recorded in John, and it's about the woman caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus. Now, the Pharisees said that she should be stoned and wanted his opinion. Now, we know that Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss his writing in the dirt and what he could have been doing. So why don't you, first of all, let's get a handle on this and read John 8, verse 5 and onward.
Okay. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned." I guess these were the people that wanted to stone her, saying to Yeshua, "But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one.
He also did it a third time. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. So there's three times.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing? So, no one accused her, of course, but mm-hmm. something else occurred here. What did he write? That is the question.
Mm.
And I've heard many explanations, but most overlook a scripture from Jeremiah that would have been read during this week in the temple where they had just left, and possibly even had a sermon on it. So they were quite aware, as you'll see in a minute. And particularly because Jeremiah speaks on the fountain of living waters, which we know is a ceremony, as we just talked about, done during this feast. So again, let's read Jeremiah 17:13, and then we'll discuss it.
This is cool. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth.
Wow. Because
they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Okay, so no, they had just heard this. They probably had a sermon on it. And it said, those who depart from me will be written in the earth. Wow. I believe that he wrote their names, Ana Hosanna Rabbah, in the dirt, and that was a symbol of being doomed to the grave.
And that's why they went out, being convicted by their conscience, one by one, because they each one remembered, oh, we just read that.
Yeah. And, of course, not knowing really our Hebraic roots too much, we would miss that.
Exactly.
And that's what my interpretation of it is. So these are gold nuggets, and I think, well, I know Yeshua taught people deep messages of himself a lot, and especially during the festivals. These festivals are all about Jesus. They're his appointments that he was going to keep with man. He's kept four of them. There's three left, and that's what's going on in the fall. And that's why I get excited every fall, because I believe that some year he probably will call us home.
In the fall.
In the fall, definitely.
Yes.
And then, of course, James even says it'll be in the fall at the harvest.
It is an exciting time. It's a happy time.
That's right. And it's important for us to learn and to see Jesus in them, the awesomeness of God, to have pre-planned these events as a major teaching tool for us. So.
And you know, when you mentioned the Hebrew roots, we are not a Hebrew roots ministry. This is not a Hebrew roots ministry, but it incorporates Hebrew roots.
Right.
This is actually an end times or a prophecy
ministry. Yes, I'm end more time end times.
Prophecy ministry. But as has been pointed out so many times, and I've learned this so many times on this show, is that without the Hebrew roots, it's nearly impossible to figure out what the prophets are saying. And even, I would go so far as to say, even the Gospels. And we tend to simplify them and think they're so simple, but actually they're very, very deep.
A lot of meat there if you want it.
If you want it.
If you want it.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's just so phenomenal to me. And I actually have to catch my breath whenever I think of all that he has maneuvered so that those that desire to, and that's the clue.
Yes.
You have to desire to want it. You can see him in a much deeper light. And that brings happiness and joy.
And that brings yourself closer. You actually draw nearer to the Lord.
That's right.
And that does. And I'm very joyful tonight. And I know even though the news is bad and we're living in the last times, you can still be joyful.
That's
If you know Yeshua, if you have him as your Savior, he is really the Hosanna Rabbah. He is the great salvation.
That's right.
I mean, there's salvations, but there's no salvation like Yeshua.
That's right.
Okay.
I think there's something we probably could fit in. What about this waving of the lulav? You want to try to tackle that before we close? Okay.
Okay.
It's Leviticus 23:40-41. If you could just read that out of the scriptures.
We were going to do that earlier, weren't we?
Yeah, but I wanted to make sure that I got the writing in the dirt.
Okay, Leviticus 23?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 45. Okay. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the feast the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And since the palm branch or the lulav was the stiffest and most prominent element of the four species, the whole ceremony was called the waving of the lulav.
That's true.
Now, each would bring a fruit, and today it's usually a citron, which is a large lemon, also called an etrog, and they held it upside down in the left hand. So get a mental picture now. Then they would tie together the branches of a date palm, which was called a lulav, a myrtle branch, and a willow branch, and hold them in the right hand. They would then bring both hands together while turning the etrog upright. And then together with both hands, wave the entire lulav north, south, east, and west.
Cool thing. What does this mean, however, or spiritually represent to us, to the bride of Christ?
Well, to me, it's like a grafting in, okay?
I believe.
Now, the Jews use an etrog, but the Bible just says fruit. And to me, just like in the booths, where it could easily be a wild olive branch with olives on it, of course, I would just like to think that maybe originally it was an olive branch, because we are that wild olive fruit. And after we are turned right side up and made righteous, we then turn ourselves to join Israel, which is the rest of the lulav.
And we become pleasing.
And
we have a pleasing aroma, and that's part of the reason they use the citroen or the esrog. It has a, it is beautiful and has a pleasing aroma, but only when it's used in conjunction with the other species. And that's why we need to be connected to our roots.
That's right. So see, what we're seeing here is that grafting in a lot.
Yeah.
You know, with different pictures.
If you look at the lulav itself, you'll see those species, not the etrog, but the other species, the myrtle and the palm, et cetera. They're all really tightly bound together.
That's
So they do actually look like a graft.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Can you picture that?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Just a look. Just came into my mind that's exactly what it looks like, a graft.
Yeah. Wow. Also, again, it's for anyone, and it's together as one body. Okay. Just like today, the body of Christ is one body with different functions. Well, same thing with the lulav. It's got different strong points as these different kind of branches portray. So, in other words, we need all peoples. And I want to mention, too, that the date palm has no fragrance, but it does have the fruit. The myrtle has no fruit, but it does have a nice fragrance. And the willow has no fruit or fragrance, but looks pretty and makes the sound of a rushing wind when swayed, which, of course, reminds me of the Holy Spirit, the rushing wind, okay?
And there's another analogy, too, if you have time for it. You mentioned something about each of these species coming from a different geographical point.
Yes, I do like that point, too, because they're all found in diverse places, which means, of course, anyone can join us, we've already said. But the willow is usually found in the brooks, by the brooks. The myrtle is found on the mountains, the date palms, the valleys. The fruits grow in the fertile, very low valleys of the lowlands. However, if it is the olive tree, it grows anywhere. The highs, the lows, even the rocky soil.
Wow.
It's pretty hardy.
And how about those wild olives? That's where you find them, too.
That's right.
I'm just looking at a wild olive across the table from me.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, I think we got most of the good parts in.
Did we call it the Feast of Nations? Feast of All Nations? We're all included in this. This is
Because we got a call from Mary, and I hope that everyone will keep her in your prayer for a while.
Yeah, please keep Mary in your prayer so she can continue being the artist that she is.
That's right.
Yes.
And okay, I think we're going to have to say bye-bye, so why don't you offer people a chance to give their hearts to the Lord?
Well, it's not me offering, but the Lord, I'm sure, wants you to know that he wants to be Lord over your whole life, not just certain compartments that maybe you've allowed him to have kingship over, but let him become the king and the ruler of your whole life. Because if you don't have that heart conviction, you just kind of know it in your head, that's not going to be, that's not really going to do you any good. And the way to do this, and we recommend that you do this, is just to get on your knees. That's right, on your knees. And then, now that you're there, speak to God. Speak to him as if you were speaking to him, that he was right there, and he is. And
that's
repent.
Right.
That means just agree with him that those sins that you have are sin, and they're keeping you in bondage. Give them to him. You know what these sins are. They're weighing you down. They're keeping you from being who God wants you to do, wants you to be. And let me tell you, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And then just commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's your Savior. And remember, it's your choice where you want to spend eternity. God doesn't send anyone to hell. That's something he's left. Excuse me. That's a choice he's left for us. So you decide that tonight. And we pray that your decision will be for Yeshua.
That's right. And then go fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own. For judgment really is very near. So, John, could you say the Aaronic blessing, which is from Numbers 6:22 in his perfect language?
The language of Hebrew. Be glad to. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha bichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. There's three Lords there, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now remember, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, first Friday of every month at 7 p.m.
And easy to reach from either I-271 or I-90 if you're coming from that far. Join us again next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Until then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
And that's not a maybe.
No, that's shall. And that's from Psalm 122, verse 6.
Have a blessed week. And don't forget, send me an email. If you have any questions, I'll answer them on the air next week. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.